and thank you for joining us on this brand new episode of Gamewear Express. My name is Adam Arender, and it is Tuesday, April the 16th, 2024. You're listening to episode number 291. Neil Bonham back again.
That's me. Like tag team.
We missed you last week, buddy, but yeah. Now you're back here ready to record episode 291.
Yeah.
John Michael Carley.
That's me.
Welcome to episode 291.
Thank you. I'm just excited to have Neil back, honestly.
Thank you.
I'll do it without him.
I'm excited to have me back, too.
Rounding out the cast this week, Renee Martin.
Hi. I, too, missed Neil. But I also miss Steven.
We all miss Steven.
Yeah.
Steven's still out on assignment this week. Hope to have him back in studio real soon.
E3 is really long this year.
Yeah, it's Man. Quite the assignment.
Don't tease me like that. I keep seeing my Facebook memories from the past like, oh, just got accepted to E3. I'll just buy my plane tickets to E3. And now it's like, oh. My soul hurts missing E3 so much.
Yeah.
But this is not an E3 remembrance podcast. This is a video game podcast. So for this week's intro question, I thought we'd kind of play off of last week. So last week I asked y'all how many like games as a service games is too many, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of had me thinking this weekend, as I'm playing all these games I'm playing, how do other people balance playing multiple games at once? Like, do you typically try to just play one game at a time? Do you like to mix it up? Do you give time evenly? Like, is there a method to your madness, or is it just whatever you're feeling at the time?
Pretty recently, especially with all the games that are out right now, I really have to just commit to one at a time.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I do, it's like, maybe on the weekends, I'll be like, kind of like a... It's like I'll take a break. Like it's my actual weekend from the game.
really putting in that 9 to 5.
Truly, honestly, that's kind of how it is. Every now and then, maybe on a Sunday, I'll play something to just kind of like a
your Sunday driver's game.
Yeah, palate cleanser. Or occasionally, if it's like in the evening, I'll be maybe watching TV and I'll just balance something. Like I'll put in some Balatro or something that's. My secondary or tertiary game is probably always something that is not anything like highly story driven or like very engaged. It'll probably just be some sort of roguelike or something I can pop in or pop out.
Sure.
That's usually my method, but I usually have one mainline game that I'm like powering through to get to the next one.
No, that makes sense. I see that. Anyone else have multi-game thoughts?
Yeah, how do I keep the plates spinning?
Right.
How do you, Neil?
So back in the day, in my live service days, it used to just be like I could play Destiny and something else.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
And like that was it. Mm-hmm. So now that I've kind of backed out and I'm not really playing Destiny anymore, it's more like one big RPG and maybe something else.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, kind of like to John Michael's point, like, especially with my time now these days, it's kind of like I get into like playing one game and then like, you know, do y'all ever get into like that post-game depression? Like it happened to me with FF7 Rebirth, you know, like after I beat it, it was like, then I played like 6 games in a day. Yeah. Like just trying to get a feel of like, what do
you
I want
to fill
next?
The void. Yeah, yeah. You don't know. You got so used to one. It's hard to just be like, well, I'll just instantly switch over to this game now.
Yeah. And you know, but typically it's just like one at a time. But like right now I kind of try to do like one big RPG since that's kind of my go-to genre now. And then like maybe something on the side too, like Balatro or, you know, something smaller, maybe even a smaller RPG.
Minish Cap.
Yeah.
Get real small on that one.
Oh, yeah, I missed you guys.
This year's been so different for me because I've been trying to be so mindful about like playing and actually beating video games whenever I'm not like that at all. Normally, I'll start a nice, big, beautiful RPG adventure, because that's mainly what I play, or an Otome game or something with this big, rich story. And near the end, I don't want it to end.
Yep.
So I just don't let it end.
Exactly.
I just put it on hold and I pick up something else and then I forget about that. And it never ends then. But no, this year I have been like sinking my teeth into one game and not letting go.
Okay, yeah.
Until like I got that dog in me in 2024 and I'm going for it.
Dog pack.
Although I am kind of doing that with Unicorn Overlord, I will admit, just because I don't want it to end, but it's fine. It will end.
You'll do it. I believe in you.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd say I have juggled like 3-4 games, like, but this was back whenever I had more of an attention span.
Sure.
In my 20s.
I feel like that means you have less.
So yeah, I don't know. Right now, I'd say I'm like a one game girl.
Okay.
Like even like little mobile. Well, I guess I'm playing Genshin, so I'm a two game girl.
There you
one,
go.
That's and out. Then in parentheses, the other one.
That's your live
so
service.
Yeah, exactly.
And then something else.
There we go. Yeah. Maybe that's what
doesn't even count as a pattern. Game basically, has almost no calories.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a theme, right? It's almost like you have types of games that just slot into whatever. It's like your long form game that you'll play for a few months, probably an RPG or whatever, and then like what's the quick hit thing, and then like your live service game.
Yeah,
so I feel like I kind of fall into that, because I always want to say I'm gonna play like two games at once, so I'll play an hour of game A and game B, and then like game B becomes way more interesting, and then I just play that to the end, and then I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about game A, here's game C, D, and E out.
Yep.
By game A. And that's always a problem.
Or if you have a 3-year-old, it's like, I really want game A and game B, but then they're like, Dada, Lego Star Wars, Dada, Katamari.
Like, well, those are good games, so yeah. I guess we're going to play those.
Yeah. Okay, so no, it seems like we're all kind of on the same page where it's like, you have your like your palate cleanser or like your break game,
saying,
and then your
man.
Main game.
Got like your job game, and then you get a break game that you take a break
like,
from.
Oh shit! I got my Marvel Snap dailies. My week resets tomorrow, and I get two more dailies per 8 hours. Can I get enough to get 25 done? Yes, but I have to play it like
so many here
before it resets. Yeah, exactly.
Lock
that's
in.
What it feels like sometimes.
I would say I don't miss that life, but
I do.
Into the Light looks so good.
Don't you do it.
I might. He jumps
in. Oh, no.
Scratching over here. He needs a fix.
John Michael, how is your Dragon's Dogma 2 adventure going?
I'm enjoying it. I'm still loving this game a lot. I'm glad I purchased this. So I do recommend other people check it out. I don't think there is, the game isn't like deep, right? I don't have like, guys, let me tell you about these theories I have on the game. Like, no, I'm killing monsters and, you know, raising my job levels and doing quests that mean nothing to me. But I still have fun. I keep finding like new caverns and caves to explore in this world, new ruins to go into. And, you know, I've explored most of the map, but I'm just going back to places again. I've been here already. I've been here like 4 or 5 times. And
but
I'm like,
now you have the hook shot.
Well, now it's just like, oh, wait, I just didn't explore enough of this area. I just didn't look hard enough. There's so much more. This cavern leads to another area of the map I didn't know I could get to. Like,
is it because now you've come back like higher level and more powerful? Or is it just like you just missed over it because it was just
where
you're going?
It kind of goes back to what's-his-face's point about like how fast travel is boring was his point. Because, you know, if you're fast traveling, like people, they put fast travel in because there's nothing to do, right? Like you just go to point A to point B. But that's true a lot of the times. And to be fair, there are plenty of times in this where, I'm set up now to where fast travel is not that big of an issue. So I don't have to like cry about paying $4 for a thing.
Sure.
But like there are times where it's like, I'm just not going to walk this. I'm going to use my fast travel. But there are other times where it's like, no, I can make this work. I can walk this. And in doing so, that's when I discovered new things that I'd never found before.
Okay.
So again, I think that's what I like about this game is just sense of discovery, good sense of adventure. I explored like most of the map now, and I do wish it was like slightly bigger. But I don't know, maybe there's more in the post game that I just haven't seen yet.
Where are you at? Are you towards the end?
Yeah, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I think by next week,
Okay.
You won't have to hear me talk about Dragon's Dogma anymore. you'll hear about my final thoughts on it, hopefully.
Okay. See how this wraps up.
Huh. Does anyone know if there's going to be DLC for it?
I assume so.
Yeah. Does it feel like...
It feels rife for it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It feels pretty easy to just create a DLC set for this and throw it in there.
Did the first one have it? Because, like, I bought the first one on Switch a long time ago.
Sure.
And have never played it. Because it was, like, $4. But it was like, I know it's like they released Dragon's Dogma, and then they did Dark Arisen. So yeah. Was that DLC, or was it was more like, of like, because like, I mean, okay, so it was a DLC. I thought it was more of like, hey, here's the like greatest hits version that has like some extra stuff.
I think
stuff.
It actually is more that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's additional content all the same that was not in the initial release.
Yeah, okay.
So, but I do think the second one will be great for that as well. So
nice. Hmm.
Is that it for you this week, I guess? Just plowing
through honestly,
that?
Yeah, honestly, like we said, you know,
yeah, fair.
The games we focus on, this has been my work game, so I haven't had too much else. My weekend game has been Fortnite, so that's about it.
No, that's fair. Okay, good. So now is the time of the show where I keep trying to tell y'all how fucking great Helldivers 2 is, because holy shit, everyone should be playing Helldivers 2 with me.
Well, good news, Adam. We got paid this week. Not on the podcast, but my actual job.
oh, Dragon's Dogma 2 paid you?
Yeah, finally. I know, right?
Nice.
Yeah, I found a treasure chest. There are $6 in it. So I've almost saved up enough to buy Helldivers. But honestly, once I do finish up Dragon's Dogma, I probably will jump into some Helldiving adventures. So
yeah, I know Neil was out last week. Neil, if you had that Destiny 2 itch... ignore that and just come dive in here.
Have you seen Destiny? Let's move on.
Because it's like, this is what patrol should feel like. It's like, this mm-hmm. is what instances should feel like. And you're making all of these like Hollywood movie moments just naturally. And then also like really terrible things also naturally happen where you accidentally blow up your teammate or a fire tornado consumes you and you,
yeah,
then you lose all your
awesome.
Progress you're going towards. The issue I'm having is like only I'm getting able to play with two people. It's starting to drag a little bit when it comes to like earning enough experience and leveling up at a reasonable rate. Mm-hmm. But we've just started moving into the challenging difficulty. And then we learn, like, when you dive onto a planet, you have a main objective. Like,
mm-hmm. I don't mean to stop, but is it like you can only play with two people, or you've only been playing with two
I've
people?
I've primarily been playing with okay. two people.
How many people can you have?
Four.
Four?
And
okay. Yeah.
Another question here. Is this like a Diablo 4 situation where the more people you have, the more like experience and stuff you get? Is that the roadblock that you're hitting?
No. So there's 9 difficulty settings you mm-hmm. can choose, and the more
Jesus
people
much.
You include... it's easier to do the more challenging difficulties.
Okay, just by
and then the more challenging difficulties net you more experience. So now we're moving into like level 4, which is like challenging. And there are like much bigger enemies that we've never encountered before. Mm-hmm. But we're playing with a buddy who's like level 30. So he's got some big guns to take care of like more of the big like armored bugs we were encountering. But really it all comes down to like you can level up and get better armor or guns to make your life easier. But it really all comes down to skill and communication.
Okay.
Because it's like a squad that works together could like do more challenging difficulties with like lower level stuff. It just makes your life a little easier. But I think, like, with a full squad of 4, we could easily move into, like, level 5 territory. Because you're always trying to not only complete, like, your main objective, which you're diving down for, which is, like, align this communication array or destroy this whatever. You can also go and do these sub-objectives that pop up. But then you can also go and try to, like... destroy the bug nests, and there's like 3 or 4
oh,
around
geez.
The map
yeah.
which you get experience there. So then like when you're done with your mission, it grades you on all the things, not just like your main objective or your sub objective, but then like are you going on clearing these nests, or how quickly are you doing it, or how many lives do you have left, and that all adds to your experience. And then the higher level you do it, the bigger multiplier you get after, right? So when you're doing like level 3, which is normal, you get like 25% bonus XP at the end, but when you're on challenging, it's plus 50%.
Sure.
So now that I'm moving into these harder difficulties, the leveling is happening faster, but it's just more difficult because when you only have 2 people, you know, you're trying to do all these weird like little like I said, Among Us mini games to complete these objectives, and it's a lot easier to like someone be on the terminal and someone go activate the three things around the area while killing bugs.
More bodies
when you have more people to do it, as opposed to you're trying to juggle it with just two. So it's like, again, with two of us, we could go take on harder difficulties and theoretically survive and do it, but like we're not that good
just
yet.
More of a grind at that point.
Does it not have matchmaking?
It does. It does. Okay. And the couple of times I've played with randos, it's been like fine. Like there, people are doing the objectives, but like, I don't like playing with randos, especially when it's an objective based.
I agree.
Like game, you know, even things like Overwatch got terrible on pubs just because you're not playing the fucking objective.
Yep. Not playing meta. Doing the meta wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. But I'm still kind of low level, but the few times I've done it with like random people, because, you can see other people on there, they can throw up SOS beacons and you can dive down and help them or have people dive in and help you. But it is that sense of, again, exploration, even though it's only like a 40-minute mission, makes me feel like those Destiny strikes. Cause not only you're trying to like do that, you're trying to collect samples. That's how you can upgrade your ship. To your passive abilities, and then trying to find your experience and then your credits to update like your guns and your armor, like what you're also trying
to. It's actually funny, like I wonder if like sometimes like game companies kind of like collude and like, hey, we're gonna be releasing this thing, so like maybe y'all should too, because it's gonna be like, you know, a selling point. But it's just funny, like Helldivers 2 came out, and then like with Into the Light, the update for Destiny 2, like it added this horde mode.
Oh yeah,
like where you like play level by level, sure, like grinding shit. So it's just
it's almost drinks.
Yeah, it's like almost their like counter to it. Like, oh, we see that. I mean, obviously they were developing it long before.
They put out A Bug's Life. They put out Ants. They put out Armageddon. They put out Deep Impact. Like,
yep. Maybe they're just like, we miss Gears of War. Yeah. No one thought about that until like 20 years later. And like, yeah, we should do some more things like that.
That's what I love about this game, because it feels like that old Horde mode without what Horde mode turned into, which I was not a fan of.
Yeah.
When it came more tower defense-y. So, yes, Helldivers 2 is amazing. It's obviously better with people. You can't play it alone, but it's better with people. So that's why. Yeah.
What level are you at now?
Oh, only like level 12. Not very high. Like I was stuck at like 10 forever. I felt like I was really like slogging through until we were like, hey, let's try the next difficulty up. Oh, we actually made this through pretty easily with our third buddy help.
What's the max level? Do you know?
I don't know. I've seen people who are like level.
From what I understand, it like, it goes up to like maybe like 100 or 150, but then it prestiges.
Oh, yeah.
But like you don't have the option. Like it does it. To. Yeah. Like it just does it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which is cool.
I was going to do it anyway. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause most of your stuff that you can like buy unlocks, I think at like 30 or 50.
Okay. Cool. I like that there's a lot of leveling to be done.
Yeah. And there's always stuff like new stratagems to buy, which are new weapons or items or like turrets or airstrikes and stuff that you can keep things fresh, right? Because then also I've seen like, okay, here's like the stratagem and loaded I do when I've been doing all these like level 2 and level 3 challenges, but then you get to level 4 and you're like, oh, none of this shit matters anymore. Now I need like armor piercing, I need more like big heavy things as opposed to like stuff that was more area of effect. For
max
example,
level is 150.
For looking
good, fact check, Neil. So yeah, Helldivers 2, super great. And then real quick, because I don't want to get much into it, but my Final Fantasy VII minute to play more Crisis Core. From last week, I did learn you can't go in the settings and change the buttons.
That's great.
Awesome.
So, good there. I actually kind of like this game. I like that it's like this all kind of small missions, quick hits.
Yeah.
Like I see why it was a portable game and why it's set up the way it is, but like it's really simple and kind of brainless. You know,
I can
turn it on and do a few missions or do missions for an hour, and it's just like I still don't fully understand what the like slot machine does besides randomly give me like buffs.
That
It is, you got it. You do understand that. Lie to us.
It's just like, it, you know, it's kind of just like his, I mean, it's called the digital mind weave, if I remember right. So it's just basically like him getting powers and help from people and relationships that he's met. And then have you made it to Soldier First Class
yet? Yeah.
Okay, so then that's when it throws in, like, you getting the buffs. And
yeah,
man, like, that's just where, honestly, the game just kind of gets real easy.
Because it's like, you'll just be free MP. Spam, 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 spam.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that's kind of what I like about it. Yeah. Like, I like that they didn't make a very difficult handheld game to where you're just redoing things all the time.
Because I remember, like, when Crisis Core came out long ago, it, like, was not received well.
Well, the PSP version is kind of shit.
Okay.
Like, yeah. They retooled it a lot. I mean, like, just in one instance, right? Like, in the PSP version, you're, like, you know how you have everything set to, like, a face button yeah. or using L1 and doing mm-hmm. a move? Like, that just used to be, like, a... Imagine like World of Warcraft with boxes along the end, and okay. you used to have to use L and R to cycle through them to even use.
While you're trying to dodge like enemies yeah. and stuff. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it was
nothing
just
loaded.
yeah. And like it was a fine game, but man, Reunion is just mm-hmm. so much better.
Yeah.
I even like to get the full effect. I was playing some of it on my PlayStation Portal.
Oh, cool.
to do like get the handheld Perfect. Experience, and I thought it actually looked better on the PlayStation
it
Portal.
It probably does. Yeah.
It looks terrible. It doesn't look terrible, but like coming off
comparatively,
it's not
speaking,
impressive.
Yes.
Yeah, coming yeah. off a remake, especially this looks like a PS3 game that they kind of like up-res a little bit.
Yeah,
and you know, okay. anyway, but yeah, no, I'm actually really enjoying it. So I made some decent progress over this past weekend. So I'm hoping to maybe finish it by next week.
What well, chapter yeah. are you on?
4.
Okay, so nearing halfway.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I've been trying to do all the missions. I do all the missions until I keep losing once or twice. And I'm like, all right, I'll come back later when I'm stronger,
yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
I
mean,
would do the same thing.
I think last time I played the game, I didn't even get 50% of the missions done and still mm-hmm. beat the game. So it's really not that difficult or long.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see like it's only like 10 or 11 chapters. And yeah, it's like less than 2 hours per chapter, it seems like, on average yeah. so far. And then doing the little missions in between just to like... palate cleanse from
yeah,
whatever
I mean,
that is.
Remember, it was a PSP game. So
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
like
super depth.
Lengthy,
yeah,
but...
FF7 VR missions.
That's definitely what it feels like, which I appreciate. Renee, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so I actually was out of town for a lot of last week. I was in Dallas, but I wanted to pick up like something new. And if you know Eiyuden Chronicles, which is like the spiritual successor to Sukkoden.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh,
nice. So that, I think it comes out next week or the week 24th. Yeah. Really excited about it. So I figured that I would pick up the 2022 action RPG that they made.
It's
action. Yeah,
it's a game that they made.
It's yeah, it certainly is.
It is a game
is
of all time
that they made.
It's funny because while I was downloading it, I was on the phone with Steven and I was like, oh, like friends who own this game. It said John Michael. And I was like, oh, he's never mentioned it. He must hate this game.
It sucks.
And then when I started it, I was like, oh yeah, this is why John Michael hates it. It's a game for babies.
it's so easy. Fetch quest sim.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
That's all it is. Have you never played a game that has fetch quests before? Why not dive into this? That's all it is. And it's not fun to do either. Like,
I don't hate it. I like the idea that it's like introducing like characters that I'm probably going to see. So I'm excited about that. I like that. I have like this big kangaroo friend. Like, so you start off with one like little character. It's this girl who's like, I want to be a treasure hunter, basically. And she's collecting these stamps so that she can access this area because this town is like telling people like, you can't go into our mines until you collect these stamps. So you have to help people in the town first. But she's the only sucker who's done that. So I think that's kind of funny. Mm. But yeah, so I just recruited another character though. So, and he's like this big kangaroo. His name is Guru.
Very good, by the way.
He's fucking cool, okay? Like, he's definitely Sukkoden, like, in the vein of Sukkoden characters.
I'm very thrilled with all the character design. Let me say that. It's nothing about character design or setting or anything throws me off of this game. Because I am looking forward to the actual real version of this game.
Yeah. But yeah, this game, I don't know. I'm going to try and, like, beat it just to see if there's anything at the end of it.
I think it's a pretty quick game.
Yeah, I think I'm, like, 3 hours in. It seems like I'm a little over halfway through because I filled up my little stamp card by about half.
Ooh.
So, but apparently you don't even have to do that. That's just bonus stuff. You can just power through or whatever. I've heard that there's 3 characters to unlock, so I've got 2. There's 1 more, I guess.
I don't even think I got the 3rd character.
But yeah, I don't know. It's okay. It's very easy.
Yeah.
There's not much to it. You have a jump button. And then the girl has, like, an attack button. And then if you want to swap to the other character, you just hit his attack button. So he only has 1 attack button. So
it's just like a 2-button game.
Yeah, it is super simple. It is basic.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, it's okay.
Is there any is a story worth writing home for? Is it mostly there for your gameplay? I mean, I know John Michael's opinion probably on that, but Renee,
I think it's cute, but it's dopey. It's very dopey.
Pointless. Yeah, it's nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
What
this
are
on?
They chronicling?
Honestly, that's what I'm.
What
wondering.
Is rising?
Yeah.
Not my enjoyment level.
No,
I guess.
It's my sleepiness level.
Okay, that's so funny because I did take a nap while. I was
yeah. It's, it should be called melatonin rising.
I'm playing it on PS5, but I guess this was a PS4 game. I don't know.
It could have just been a PSP game.
Yeah, because like the environment's like
could have been
they're...
a Tiger Electronics game. Like...
there's like, you know, everybody's sprites because it has it's Suikoden, spiritual successor to Suikoden, so it's sprites, but the like actual environment is like 3D like models, and you only move left to right, so it's there's not much to it. But you know what? It's fine because I wanted to experience it, and I certainly am.
Yeah,
are. I give it a solid C plus.
So is
not
this,
quite a B minus.
Is this
C
like
plus.
A spiritual successor in that like people that used to work on Suikoden like came and like made this game
so
in a different
again,
company?
This is not the what the final product will be. Mm-hmm. This is like an offshoot that they were like, we don't have a full game ready. Let's put this out that like is like a prequel, if you will, to but that also doesn't play anything like what the upcoming game will play like.
Interesting.
So the upcoming game will play like Suikoden, and like you will have 150 characters.
Gotta
think?
Catch them all.
I think it is.
Yeah,
like
it's like it's a lot
something.
Of characters.
150 seems to be the go-to number these days.
I love it. I think there's a secret one. He's hiding under a truck somewhere. I'm not sure. Just a rumor.
I have an
I've
uncle
heard.
That works at Nintendo. I think I heard that at Easter.
But yeah, I think the upcoming is supposed to be more actual RPG.
Gotcha. So they got fired by Konami.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we still want to do this.
I think I like the art. Like I looked up some pictures.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty.
It looks nice.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Eiyuden Chronicles.
Well, that doesn't help me.
E-I-Y-U-D-E-N.
Hold on, E?
And the rest of the word, Eiyuden.
E-I-Y-U.
Y-U. Oh, here it is.
D-E-N.
Rising or 100 Heroes? Rising, yeah.
Well, 100 Heroes is like...
100 Heroes is the one that has 150 characters. So I might have been wrong about how many characters, I might have been thinking about Pokemon. I do conflate most games with Pokemon. I was trying to play Dragon's Dogma, and I kept trying to use Bubble Beam for some reason.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that looks neat.
Yeah.
Looks, graphically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. This game, it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
It's a trick.
It was free on PlayStation Plus at some point, so I downloaded it. I actually downloaded it, you know, just for
Yeah, so yeah, it's probably in my library too.
It is.
Yeah.
You have it. Trust
me. Nice.
You also buy for $4 right now on Switch.
Yeah.
I'd say it's worth $4.
I think it's appropriately priced as free on PlayStation Plus.
Look, sometimes you just need like an okay game. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
You know.
They make games for your phone.
Yeah. Oh man,
like going it's not it wasn't that fun.
Like kind of going back to like playing like big RPGs, right? Mm-hmm. Like I tend to do that in my post big RPG depression. It's like I hit like all the okay RPGs.
This is where I hit one of these. I'm pretty sure was like at the end of that.
Cuz like not one I'm like really going to talk about in depth, but like recently I have like jumped back into the Secret of Mana remake and it's like that game is just very
bad.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
C plus.
Yes.
C minus? Oh no, it's almost a D.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I mean, it's Secret of Mana.
It's because it keeps the gameplay, but everything else is bad about it.
Yeah, which the gameplay is also bad. So
that's fair, yeah.
But yeah, it's just I'm kind of just like wanted to jump into it because like with Visions coming out soon, I just was like, let me dip my toes back into the Mana series.
I've actually never played a Mana game, which is
Secret of Mana for some reason is like the most highly regarded one. But
that's the one I was here about.
I honestly think it's like the worst one.
It's not great. Emmy's fine.
I never played the OG Trials, but the remake Trials, like, again, okay games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more okay.
Gotta get on that Seiken Densetsu 3.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
That actually is very good.
I probably need to get... That's in the, like, the collection that they redid? Okay. I'll have to get that one day and play that.
Or, you know, Super Nintendo ROM in 2001, which is where I played it.
So. Yeah.
Neil.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what you have under your name this week.
Oh, so
yeah, what's that?
Yeah, so I don't know if y'all have heard of this series at all.
Aiden Chronicles.
I think it's pretty new. But yeah, I finally broke down and got Persona 3 Reload.
Yes.
Whoa.
I traded in a bad RPG for a good one.
Getting ready for our Persona 3 Reload spoiler cast, dropping that first weekend in May.
Which, by the way, I'll likely join even if I don't finish it, because, I mean, as of right now, the story kind of, I don't know, does it have, like, big twists and turns and stuff? Because I feel like it's kind of like,
it's gonna.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most of them do.
They got to lull you into the world first.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you think everything's just fine, and you're just going to art class and, like, going to the mall.
I mean, obviously, that's not all I'm doing right now, because, like, the intro to the game's like, hey, shoot yourself in the head and then go to class.
Just make that quick. It's the opposite for me.
But yeah, so, like, I kind of dove into this game earlier this year. I bought Portable when it was on sale on Switch.
Okay,
And, like, I didn't really talk about it or anything, because I only put, like, maybe, like, 8 to 10 hours into it. And honestly, it just, like, wasn't really grabbing me. I don't know if it's, like, just, like, that visual novel style that was, you know, I just couldn't, like, connect.
It's a very condensed version. It assumes you know like what a Persona game is,
it
because it
felt
like,
I was playing the cliff notes of a bigger game. And but now that I've played Reload and like am definitely 100% gonna get through it, like I see the appeal of Portable now.
Sure.
But yeah, man, this game is fucking great. I'm still kind of like in that, like, I don't really know if I care about any of these characters.
That's okay. You can enjoy an entire Persona game without caring about any characters. Yeah. Trust me. I've done it many a time.
Yeah. The first thing I did was, like, look up what the canon name of the character is, because I was like, this is going to be really weird to have, like, Yuri and Junpei and Neil or something. So I looked up his name, and it's Mikado, which, A, I love because it's like the evil corporation and the bouncer. But yeah, man, like the style in this game, like I think the reason I like fighting in this game is just for the intro into the fight.
Yeah.
Like you slash him and then it turns like Mikado into this blue silhouette and him running into the battlefield. And as the screen like goes from black to battle, it just like transitions into the game, man, it's so good. It's so good.
And is this your first Persona game?
I played a little bit of 5.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is definitely the one I've played the most.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm, like, understanding the best.
I think it's best you started here, because they only build upon each other, even though they're not related, like, narratively.
Right, yeah. Like, you the game just kind of see the evolution of the games, but, man, I will say there is, like, a lot to this game. I don't know if I'm, like, really getting or fully understanding.
Well,
which
here's
I'm sure it's
Q&A round. Started going.
So for me,
Persona
like
experts here,
I have been utilizing. I assume it's new because I don't think they had the network feature in the PS2 game.
No,
but I've been utilizing.
From 5,
I've been utilizing that quite a bit just because, like time management, honestly, is one of my least favorite thing in games. But
is it like, what are you doing after school today? And you're like, well, 82% of people went to wherever. Okay.
Right, right. So, and then, but also in using that, it's like a lot of people went and hung out with this person. I'm like, I haven't even fucking met that person yet. So where are they? And I've kind of like done this thing of like, I've fused some personas, but I haven't really been doing it too much, and I feel like I'm missing out on shit because the social links I am building are all for like persona types I don't have.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
3 also does a really bad job of not giving you like early like level personas that really match the arcana of like the early level arcana. So five does a much better job of like, you know, oh, as your level like five, you're it's probably matching the same arcana, but three is like no.
Yeah.
No training wheels.
And this is in no way like a knock on the game. I don't think it's doing anything bad. I want to be friends with the old man in the bookstore, so I'm leveling up whatever these are, but
it's definitely one of those things since Persona 3 is like almost 20 years old now. Yeah. Like originally, you know, they're trying to like maintain that kind of core skeleton of what's there while trying to add the stuff that made it better 18 years later.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of weird awkwardness where it's like, yeah, why is this way? It's like, it's this weird legacy thing that they couldn't fix without like fundamentally changing how the game would work because, and that's why I kind of say like, it's good better starting at three. Cause once you get to five and everything's more ironed out, you go back to three and you're like, this feels a little clunky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, playing this, it feels like a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love that about it. Mm-hmm. And also, like, with Tartarus and then how the game feels, it's like the movement of the game, not necessarily, like, the exact battle system, but, like, the movement and the feel of it is very, very Star Ocean. Mm-hmm. And then you're also doing this thing, like, in that East game that I recently played where it's all takes place in this tower. Because it's like, I mean, this essentially all takes place in Tartarus. Yes, everything else is kind of... Yeah. You just pick and choose and run around like one or two screens.
Yeah.
But like that blend of like Star Ocean and East is like just the knack I needed for something post Final Fantasy.
Got him hooked. And
I'd say like when it comes to fusing personas, it's not something you have to do. You'll have plenty of opportunity later to like fuse lower level stuff if you want to.
I feel so it's
fine. Just either like an arcana you have something of, or like an element you like or something, and like build around that. Cause I only have like four personas of the 12 I really use. Mm-hmm. I mainly just fuse them to kind of like complete my Pokedex, my compendium, just to do it. Because a lot of my I've been using Jack Frost still since the very beginning, and I just keep leveling him up, and I don't need another ice dude because I have Jack Frost still. So it's like anything there comes, I just use them to just keep fusing later on for whatever
reason.
Yeah, and
see stuff like that, I guess it's like in the floors of the Tartarus that I've played, like ice wasn't even really a weakness to anything. So like I do have Jack Frost, but I've really been mainly using like Orpheus and Pixie. And
so we really you kind of play it as you want, right? Because the only thing you really want to do is like later on when you can make like the ultimate personas for certain arcanas, you need like whatever that builds up to fuse into. So that's why it's better just keep fusing stuff early on just so you like already have a lot of that knocked out.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'll probably likely like get to that because I mean, this game was, I was so like just stressed about like, am I going to be leveled up in time? And
you
like,
will be.
And yeah, I was you like, I got to a point to where, I mean, I was running Tartarus and I got to like the 22nd floor and it was blocked and I couldn't go anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, another thing that's kind of confusing to me is I understand like the experience it shows you on the screen is obviously being split. But I don't know how it's being split. And that's kind of aggravating. because
the points are made up. Yep. And it's done
right. Because it'll be like, you know, you gained 50 experience, but then my character went from you need 50 to the next level to 47. So it's like they only got three. All of them only got three. That adds up to 9. Where'd the other fucking 41 experience go?
I've actually never paid attention to that, so I need to like look at that now.
Well, I guess it's because I'm such a person that like I'm gonna grind. Like that's what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna pay attention to that. So that's kind of been like the only aggravating air quotes thing to me is like not understanding where all this is going.
Sure.
I guess some of it goes to the personas.
Some of it does go to your but only persona if, that's
like,
equipped.
That's equipped, yeah, because I noticed I was like, oh, well, this one's
some
still...
of it goes to the government.
Yeah, nice.
Taxes.
Nice.
That... Experience taxes.
That's true, that is this weekend. We had our taxes.
Yeah, we just finished ours right before I got here. But yeah, I mean, this game's great. I just beat, I guess, what's the first boss, the priestess on the subway.
What'd you think of that boss design? Isn't it fucking crazy?
I was kind of weirded out.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It looked like she was like trying to seduce me.
Welcome to every Persona game.
And then like
just wait till you fight the giant penis.
And then her boobies said BJ on it.
That's
so I don't know what's going
BJ's
on there.
Happened.
I'm like, the priestess? Maybe in Japanese it's BJ? I don't know.
That's her name.
That song that plays like while you're going through the subway, that's like my favorite song in the whole thing. They only use it there in like one other time.
Nice. Yeah, I mean,
but
the music is fantastic.
My favorite part of every Persona game. Shoji Meguro is my favorite fucking video game composer.
Yeah, it's really good. But man, I'm really digging it.
Nice. I'm always excited to hear that.
So I'm about to start my venture into, I guess, floor 23 and to whatever is next blocked off. And
once you kind of figure out like the cycles, like it gets easier to find that routine.
So
you get to the point now where you need to go through like all of Tartarus in one night, like and just get through from like start to the wall in one night. And
so
then you can rest on.
I think now because like after I beat the Priestess, it kind of unlocked this thing with Elizabeth where she's giving me these like side missions to do. Mm-hmm. And I know, and one of them was like finding this person, and they're obviously lost in Tartarus. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's kind of like what I've been structuring. Like I've actually started pulling out a notebook and writing down like what I need to do day by day. So it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I go and work at the cafe because I want my courage and charm to go up.
Yep,
and then
and that money.
The money. The money's definitely good.
Saturdays are deals at the pharmacy.
And then I'm guessing she's someone you can kind of like get later on, but is her name the teacher that you're kind of working with? She's in the lounge. Kajori? That's her last name, but I don't know. She's got like the long red hair.
Mitsuru Kirijo.
Yes,
oh, yeah. She's the student council president.
Okay. Do you ever get like her as a character or like anything like that?
Maybe.
Well, no, I want to know because I am like, that's my girl right now.
It's your wife.
And she's girl. Like, you better not do your studies. And I'm like, how do I fucking build academics? So that's what I've been doing. I'm already like, pretty, I guess, I don't know, it doesn't like really tell you how far into it you are, but I've been on two in academics for quite a bit.
There you go. You gotta pay attention in class. You gotta get those pop quiz questions right.
There's
some of those are like,
they're like
how the fuck was I supposed to know?
You better pay attention because it comes back up on the finals. You have to take two, so get ready, buddy.
Okay, well, yeah.
The best part is it's not even the exact question you were asked. It was a different question that was in the lecture that became up before they even ask you that question. So hope you're paying attention to every lecture. Or you have internet access to look up things.
I have thought about doing that, but like first playthrough, I don't really want
just
to.
Just do it.
No.
Well, also, because the higher you get your academics too, once you come to exam time, the fewer questions you actually have to answer to get high scores. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of studying. There are some things that like I really wish the activities they gave you didn't take up so much time. Because it's like I just got this thing where I like met up with some girl in an online game and she really wants to play. But it's like whatever time you start playing, it's all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, fuck, man, like can it at least just be half a day sometimes?
No.
But, and only on Sundays.
But it is an MMO. It is live service.
Holidays,
so it makes sense.
Or holidays.
That's true.
But
I mean, eventually, whenever you get to the end, you'll be like, what do I have to do? So.
Okay. So. From what I remember, the little bit of Persona 5 I played, that one, like, going into Tartarus was, like, you kind of had to do stuff before the end of the month, right? Like, is that how that one was?
It was until the date before they went and stole, like, did the heist to steal the person's heart.
Because it was individual dungeons. It wasn't one continuous dungeon.
Right, palaces. That's
they're palaces,
were. Not Tartarus, But for some reason, I thought I remember, and maybe again it was just because I didn't play that much, but I thought it was like, it's going to happen at the end of the month, so make sure like you're building up to that. Whereas Persona 3 seems to be it's more on the cycle of the moon.
Correct. Yes.
Because, this was like the subway fight happened a little bit into May.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so it was like there was this point in time where I was like trying to do a whole bunch of stuff in the last 4 days of April.
Right.
And then I kind of like...
Nothing happened.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, fuck, now what do I do? Where do I study?
That's what I'm saying. Like, with 3, there is less stuff to do. So that's why it's like, if you can get through your entire Tartarus run in a day, then that just frees up the other 27 days of the cycle to go work on your social links or your stats or whatever.
I feel like I did a pretty good job of that, like, my first run through. I want to say my first run through, I didn't, like, back out until, like, floor 17 or so.
And it takes a while to build up.
And it was all because like I ran out of SP. Mm-hmm. And
those SP refill like items are are they're limited, right? They're few and far between. So
yeah, you can't purchase them other than cans of soft drink.
Yeah. I had like four of them, and I used them all in that run.
Oh, you'll get more, but it is a rarer item, so it's that's how they try to limit you.
Treasure chests will also respawn in your lower level, so whenever you revisit, you know, you can always go back and try and find more
items.
And
if you whack
items.
Those, like, lamps and things that are in the dungeon, sometimes they drop, like, soul drops, which will heal your SP. Not lamps.
Oh, you mean, like, the hand statues?
Yeah,
the shadows,
whatever.
They,
like,
they're different.
Crystallized on each, or whatever. On each, when you get to, like, different aesthetic tiers, they change. But if you hit those, you can find soul drops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I whack everything. I open everything. But... It's great. But yeah, it was like by the last time I was like running through floors 1 through 22, I think I like really barely used any kind of magic and was just like wiping out enemies in one hit. Yeah. So I feel like I was like very over leveled for that boss fight. I was like level 13 or 14. And I think it said like recommended everyone's like around 10. but yeah, man, it's really good. Even though it is like kind of got some elements to it that just like really stressed me out. But in a good way. Mm-hmm. This game's doing it in a very good way.
It's a great game.
Glad to hear enjoying it so much. Before we move on to news, let's take a trip back to the past with Retro Rewind.
Let's go.
We have a 30th anniversary to celebrate today. Happy 30th birthday to Super Metroid.
You just did a whole rewind on
that. Coming out on the Super Nintendo on April 18th, 1994.
Kurt Cobain just missed it.
Damn.
It's always next year.
I was just gonna say I never played Super Metroid because I didn't have a Super Nintendo growing up, because we all know that story. But Super Metroid was always my favorite thing when they ended like AGDQ or SGDQ on with a Super Metroid race. That was always my favorite. But do y'all have maybe more firsthand Super Metroid memories? This is a pointed question because I know Neil knows the answer to
so
this.
So y'all know I don't like speedrun anything,
right?
But this was a game that I like. Played a lot to the point to where like I was trying. I never got like to like world record.
Sure.
You know, because I want to say like those were like in the 20s, 30s minutes or whatever. But I have like gotten really good enough to like beat that game in under an hour.
Did you save the animals or kill the animals?
Well, I mean, multiple. Dude, I've done all of them.
runs the gamut.
Man, Super Metroid is fucking incredible though. Like, that's a game, like, even if you play now, like, the animations of, like, Samus running and stuff like that is still just, like, unbelievable that that's on the Super Nintendo.
It's a good-looking game. It holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, music, atmosphere, like, everything about that game is just so incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, man, what can I say about Super Metroid that's, like, everything about it is good. Everything.
I mean, there's a whole subgenre of games that's named after like this. Like Metroidvanias, right? Like,
yeah,
it started this.
Super Metroid is clearly like the pinnacle of where like Metroid really kind of, I don't know, it's a launching pad, if you will.
I mean, honestly, I would say that one was probably Dread.
Well, okay.
I mean, based on sales. But yeah, I mean, you know, the original Metroid's like, okay.
Yeah.
The 2 is not that good of a game on Game Boy. But 3 was like, showcase. You know, it was the Symphony of the Night. They're like, this is Castlevania. Like, this is Metroid. And it's still a game, like, I'll play a lot now.
Annually or?
Yeah.
I know some games you visit, like, almost every year, right?
Yeah, I probably play Super Metroid annually, I would say, because it's a game I can beat in under an hour.
Sure.
So it's like, I'm going to bed. Like,
yeah, might as
play some Super Metroid. Yeah. and, you know, it definitely geared its way to, like, kind of cementing what 2D Metroid is. Cause, after Super Metroid, I mean, 4, 5, all of those are very, 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 very similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And... yeah, Super Metroid's really good.
Nice.
No one else?
I mean, that,
I didn't
agree.
Get to play it. I didn't get to play it growing up. That wasn't in my brother's box of Super Nintendo games, unfortunately.
You should play it on the Switch.
Oh, yeah, really I could good. Do that. Yeah.
Especially with the rewind feature, you don't have to worry about like just dying all the time.
Was it an Ambassador game 1 through 3 ES?
No, it was the OG.
Mm, okay. thought it was. Maybe not.
So I don't think they had Super Nintendo games at that time.
Oh, maybe you're right.
It was all
Game
like
Boy Advance games.
Game Boy Advance,
stuff.
Game Boy, yeah. And
yeah, that's
NES
right. That's
games.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong Jr., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Legend of Zelda, Metroid. NES Open, Wrecking Crew, Zelda 2, Yoshi, and then 10 GBA games.
Yeah.
Wario Land.
But there was Metroid Fusion on that.
Yes. Metroid Fusion was on the
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. That's probably what I'm thinking of. That's also a great game. But it's not its birthday, so. Happy birthday, Metroid.
Yeah, but even then, like, when you go back and, like, you know, they redid Metroid 2, they redid Metroid 1, like, a lot of those games.
To make them more like Super Metroid.
To make them more like Super Metroid, yeah.
That's very true. That's a really good point. Cool. Let's move on to some news. Speaking of Nintendo, we'll start the news today with Nintendo
Switch 2.
Can't wait to see more Nintendo out and about in this world of ours post-COVID. Know they want to get out some more. What are they up to?
Well, they will not be attending Gamescom this year in Germany.
Come on, Nintendo.
This
Gamescom on Nintendo.
They're saying because of the Switch 2 coming out soon and them not having much to really show off for the rest of 2024.
Oh, so it's confirmed.
Trying to save some dollars. Got a console.
It's like, what's
out.
The real point of going to Gamescom? No, this is interesting because, I mean, Nintendo was one of the first ones to back out of E3.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see where E3's status currently lies. Is this like a bigger step towards that with Gamescom, or is this just a weird timing thing and we think Nintendo will be back next year?
That
maybe, yeah,
okay. I mean, fun. Like, what are you going to showcase? Like, when is Gamescom?
August 21st through 25th this year.
Yeah, so
maybe they're still going to go to Germany and they're going to set up a little treehouse outside of Gamescom where you can see all the Nintendo stuff.
But yeah, you know, it's like what they have Thousand Year Door remake.
Yeah,
I think that's really it. Like, they've kind of put a pause. We've talked about this, I guess, in a few weeks past. Of like, what does Nintendo even have coming out?
Yeah.
When they have a new console slated, like, mm-hmm. they've slowed production on everything until that actually gets yeah. out. So
there's gonna have a lot of booths for Pokemon Legends. Like,
yeah, I was about to say, right, they announced that Pokemon game, which,
just third-party titles. Like, that's,
I mean, kind of how it seems like.
Yeah.
So, and like, all those companies will be there. So
yeah,
the Switch will probably have an abundance of, you know, stuff there, just not from Nintendo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good news for you, Neil. If you've been enjoying Persona 3 so much, we're getting more and more things pointed at Persona 1 and 2 remakes should be coming. There's more rumors.
Why'd
swirling
I start
around.
Should have just waited.
Started at the very cut. Beginning. More and more things pointing at that this rumor keeps popping up and seems to be true.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because, like,
yeah, those games are vastly different.
Yeah, I was about to say, from my understanding, they're vastly different. So if, like, you're bringing them back, like, is it, like, essential to the core of the game that they stay the way they are? Or do they try to kind of make it more like Persona 3 on?
Renee, you have the most hands-on experience here.
Well, yeah. But also, like, the person who, like, leaked this and said that it's definitely happening is Midori. It's that Atlas mm-hmm. leaker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought that
yeah,
was a liqueur.
She left and then she came back. So it actually means green,
talents.
Which
it's
is
a green liqueur.
Yeah. But Midori said that yes, like Persona 1 and 2 are going to be coming back, but it's not going to be like complete remakes. It's basically going to be like slightly updated versions
the
of the
remasters.
Old, yeah, like remasters.
Because I kind of did that on PSP.
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 years ago.
I think that's basically what it's going to be.
Okay.
Right. Persona well, 1 know, and 2 that's reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be all on the same cart because it's coming out for Switch, right? Like,
so one on it, one download.
Yeah. Heard of it.
Square Enix hopes to get that last part of Final Fantasy VII Remake out in the next 3 years.
Approximately yeah. 3 years. I mean, which, that's about timeline for.
That's how long Rebirth took.
Yeah.
They spent a year after Remake making the DLC.
Yeah.
And then they spent the next 3 years making Rebirth. So, yeah, that seems like it's on track.
I believe story's already completed, so.
Yeah. They, I mean, it's like funny because I'm rushing to hurry up and like get caught up with all of these and finally get to Rebirth. And it's like, great. Now, let's see
years.
Again in 3 years. I know, right? It's like, shit, I should just wait it. No.
Nah.
Yeah, I think this makes sense on timeline wise. I hope they can hit it. Obviously, that would be putting this part three out in 2027, which would be the 30th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yep. So they have to do it. Oh, that's right? Cool. Like,
yeah, they have like so it all kind of lines up. So let's hope they can hit that date and maintain the quality. If it sounds like I really enjoyed Remake, and it sounds like y'all are enjoying Rebirth.
Did is part of this new story? Sorry, I didn't look at the list, but is it with what Katase had mentioned in his recent interview?
Did he mention in his recent interview?
Basically, that after whatever whatever comes out, that he's pretty much probably going to be hanging up his towel.
I mean, that's fair. And it's a lot of things to do.
I would just like to say that, you know, that's going to be an end of a huge fucking era for video games,
for sure.
And especially in RPGs, because if I know a lot of people know Katase for Final Fantasy VII, but like if you look back at his directing career, I mean, he was the director of 10, mm-hmm. 8, mm-hmm. 6, Chrono Trigger. Like, the man has made some of the most influential games in the RPG genre, so it's going to be wild, you know, not having someone like him making games anymore. But then you see, you know, people like Nojima and what's his name? Hamaguchi or whatever that just directed Rebirth. That guy, you know,
I mean,
everyone was worried about Rebirth because it's like, oh, he worked on 13 and all that. But then, like, you can see the love that he puts into something like 7 Rebirth. And, you know, I think they're really setting themselves up to have some pretty good directors going forward.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope the future of Final Fantasy continues on and we go back to, I don't know, like, do you want to see, I guess we've already had like a 12 remake kind of, like, do you want to see like a 13 remake or what? Or do we want to go back further? Like, do we want a 9 remake? Because that's like what
I
want.
They keep hinting at that, right?
Yeah.
So that's still rumored to be going around.
And I definitely don't think any remake they do is going to go to the level of something like 7.
Yeah.
You know, like spanning multiple games and doing all that.
I think a 9 remake is very realistic. Just keep the same game, just kind of like update some graphics, maybe throw a little extra content in there. But, you know, I think you can get away with doing that. I think you could do that with 10, honestly. Do the same thing.
Like,
I would love to see that.
I agree with that, and I would pay money and I would do that. But, like, from 10 on, like, I think those games are so cemented and, like, as far as graphically and gameplay and stuff, that there's not really much you can do to change to, like, make them better or look better. I mean, Final Fantasy X is like, still a game that it has no business looking as good as it does.
No, I absolutely
agree. Oh, yeah. And whenever they try to remake it, it doesn't look good.
No, it looks worse.
Shit. You got to play it on PS2.
Right. But then there's stuff like, you know, 13, which I personally hope they remaster the trilogy and release, because I really like the 13 games. And those are still...
A rare instance, but I am with you. I actually like 13. So.
Yeah, it's one of the... I'll always say, like, if someone didn't like 13, I guarantee you it's because they hit auto battle.
Or you just have to, I mean, to be fair, you do have to get pretty far into it before that game like opens itself up to see what it can really do. Like,
100%. Yeah, because like the first 20 hours is like tutorial.
Basically,
Jesus Christ.
But it is like, you know, it's one of those series, like if you stick with it, like Lightning becomes like one of the fucking coolest protagonists. And like the story just gets really nuts and really crazy and really good. And,
you kill gods. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so standard JRPG.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, even then, like, 13 is just a game that looks better than a lot of games these days look like, you know? Yep. So there's not really much they have to do to put these games out.
Mm-hmm. Let's move into tipping culture.
Yeah.
I don't know about tipping culture in 2024.
It's out of control.
It is out of control.
Tipping.
Well, former Blizzard president Mike Ybarra is under the hot seat a little bit, or on the hot seat, under the microscope.
In the hot
seat. In the hot seat. On Twitter, he tweeted about how he wishes there was an option when he gets done playing a single player game that he loves so much that, you know, you can just drop another $10 or $20 tip to the developer. Because you already paid $70 for the game, but sometimes these games are so good, why don't I give him another $10, $20?
How about you pay developers more?
Ayo.
Mm-hmm. How about whenever games flop, the execs that make the decisions, they get penalized.
That's what I'm saying. Like, was that man really sitting there finishing up playing, I don't know, Red Dead Redemption 2 and being like, man, I need to give them more money now. That was his final thought. Credits roll, I'm like, I need to give someone money. Like,
it's so funny.
What an insane thing to say.
It's just a weird thing to just like up and tweet about, because unless you're just saying like, hey guys, I'm also working games, so just give me more money too.
Like, it's also just kind of like asinine, because as someone that worked a large part of my working career in the service industry, like, the reason you tip is because people are doing a service for you that you don't feel like doing.
Yeah,
like making food and bringing it to you. Mm-hmm. And you know why I depended on tips? Because I made $2 an hour. And that was enough to like cover my fucking taxes.
Right.
So like no. Like
that's it.
Yeah. And granted, like, I don't know, maybe this might have been taken out of context or something. No, I'm not sure.
It wasn't. That was what he said.
But it's like, you know, there have been times like where I'm like, man, I was having a rebirth. I'd have paid fucking $200 for this. But like, by the time I beat it, I wasn't like, let me tip
here. Him. I can read you the tweet. Yeah. Quote, I've thought about this idea for a while.
A while?
As a player, since I've been diving into single player games lately. When I beat a game, there are some that just leave me in awe of how amazing the experience was. At the end of the game, I've often thought, quote, I wish I could give these folks another $10 or $20 because it was worth more than my initial $70 and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second.
The musings of a rich person who doesn't really know. You know, there is a way that you can tip them, is that you can buy that game and gift it to your friend as an experience. Mm-hmm. That's how you can tip them, dude. But you don't think of things like that.
Also, yeah, like most of these games he like mentions, he's like, games like Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Elden Ring. I know $70 is already a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had sometimes. Some games are that special.
Or just be appreciative that there's actually still fucking developers out there making games worth your $70.
I love that it's like major titles too, and not indie developers that he's mentioning who could probably actually use an extra tip.
If you gave $10 more to Red Dead Redemption 2, that's not going to like Steve the animator. It's going to like Rockstar or Take-Two's pockets.
No,
like,
why don't you go down when you're watching those credits roll and be like, who could I give money to? Why don't you look for the people on there who are like the voice talent and like people who are doing the hard work?
Like, the quality assurance people.
Yeah, like, and like, you know, write them a nice email.
Or you could tweet at them.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like,
hey,
what's your Cash App? Let me give you $10 for like doing it.
For sure. This man thinks that if he goes and sees Oppenheimer on his way out, they should have a charity box where I can give some more money to Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my God. Imagine having a tip after a game too, and like Sony gets their 30%.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, who's getting the tip? The barback's getting the tip too.
Like, you pay $20, but like a fucking the developer's gonna get like a check for 0.00003 cents.
Who gets tipped out at the end of the night? Like,
she's such a weird thing.
Really
just
making
like,
the difference over here.
Stupid.
I don't know. Who wants some hot meme news?
Let's go.
Is that not it?
Memes.
I know, right? So, Sonic 3 movie's coming out this year.
Heard of it?
The Year of Shadow continues because we have a reveal on who will be voicing Shadow in Sonic 3.
Who could be?
It's going to be Keanu Reeves himself.
Mr. John Wick.
Mr. John
Wick. He does have a gun.
they had to go someone who has experience with a gun, and they got Keanu Reeves.
That's the only one they could think of. Like, who does gun? Stuff.
That's just so amazing.
It's like a pretty good. It's a pretty good pick.
That's
I'm not
a pretty
lie.
Great pick. Yeah. Honestly,
I mean, look. Let's be real. It's a movie franchise that's better than the game franchise.
Not hard to do, but yeah, I agree.
Yikes.
Poor Sonic.
Oh man! Don't forget though, he wants to build that Sonic cinematic.
Don't do that.
Neil, if you could add anything to the Sonic cinematic universe, what would it be?
I don't know.
The Black Knight from Sonic and the Black Knight. Let's get him in there.
He's
the human girl that Sonic makes out with in Sonic 06.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Give me that crossover Zelda DLC from that Wii game. Oh,
man. Let's bring it all in.
Okay.
Big the Cat.
No, we said we were going to have a Big the Cat fishing show.
Fuck yeah.
Speaking of also other great animated movies, there is a game that is coming out that kind of ties in with the latest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. And if you want to tip the people who made
Seth Rogen.
TMNT Mutants Unleashed, you can buy this $200 collector's edition.
Good lord.
That comes with a statue that looks like the pizza van.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
An art book, an LED sign that looks like a neon sign, a mouse pad, a notebook, a pen, a poster, stickers, badges, a box, and the season pass to the game.
So office supplies.
So this is funny. This is like Turtles related and this movie related, but not so much game related. But I was like doing kind of a deep dive on Turtles in the history.
Sure.
And I looked up like the guy that directed the first Turtles movie. I forget his name, but apparently he also did the music video for Take Me On.
Hell yeah.
And it made me realize that in the new Turtles movie, the chase scene that has the remix version of that song, I wonder if that's like kind of, yeah, I wonder if that's like a kind of like an Easter egg throw to like that guy.
Has to be.
I love that.
Steve Barron.
Steve Barron, yeah.
Is the name you're looking for. He also directed Coneheads?
Yes. That was his next movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that weird movie.
So
Super Mutant Edition.
Buy that for $200.
I probably won't, but okay.
Yeah.
See, Steven's not here. Steven likes to spend a lot of money on Ninja Turtles stuff.
We just got a ton of new Ninja Turtles to add to our Ninja Turtles.
He was sending me some of those figures. They're like, you could like take still shots of this and it'll look like a movie.
It's pretty cool.
Very detailed figures.
They're pretty cool. The Nika line of Ninja Turtle stuff.
Let's see. A new thing to add to our Snackware Express folder.
Yeah.
If you want to earn some cool Tekken bucks, all you have to do is go eat at Chipotle.
Ugh.
Well,
and then you can get some Tekken coins by using this promo code EWGF623.
So I use the promo code at Chipotle, and they give me
Chipotle. It's pronounced Chipotle.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to help you out. On their website, here's how it works. Ready?
Okay.
Step one, order in the app or online.
Okay.
Step two, use promo code EWGF623.
How do I use the code? What does that mean?
E-I-Y-U.
Step three. Redeem your Tekken coins.
Where? At Chipotle?
Follow the link in your email. Okay, so you receive your Tekken coins via email, and you follow the link in your email to activate your code at chipotle-t8.com.
And then they give me a different code?
Dude, I don't know, man. It's all the app.
Put it to the PlayStation?
It's all the app.
And what do you get?
Oh, you get
500 Tekken coins.
And what's that do?
I think step one is buy Tekken, actually.
They should have called it Tekken ATE.
Or if you're a Chipotle Rewards member, you can redeem 250 points in exchange for 500 Tekken coins. But act fast because there are only 4,000 codes available.
No one's used any of those yet because nobody wants to do this.
They're opening a new Chipotle like right here, not too far down the road from us.
Well, I probably still won't eat there. So
they tore down the TJ Ribs to build
just
a Chipotle.
Just go to Izzo's.
Yeah,
Izzo's is
exactly.
Far
so
superior
good.
In this. Yeah. Okay, Nintendo Switch Online users who give Nintendo money, you get games for free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get, speaking of Wrecking Crew 98, as well as Super Art.
97 of them already?
So is that like a Madden situation that release in 97?
But it comes out for 90.
Yes. Every year. Since. Oh,
so what, like,
they update the roster every year.
I've never heard of Wrecking Crew 98.
Well,
did that come out here?
I'm telling you, it's because it's the 98th one. You have to keep up.
Wrecking Crew 98 is a sequel to Wrecking Crew, released in 1998 for the Super Famicom Nintendo Power Service.
Did it
come
out in America?
So it didn't come out here.
No, I don't think it
not
did.
If it released for Super Famicom.
No.
Hold on. Let me click on this here Wikipedia article and tell you, as I stall for time.
You're doing so good at stalling for time, Adam. Yeah.
Wrecking Crew 98 is an action puzzle game released exclusively in Japan in 1998.
Not anymore, suckers.
Coming to American shores if you give Nintendo $20 a year or $60 a year for the more expensive one.
60. I pay 50.
Is it 50?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Super R-Type.
They'll probably go up.
Yeah.
Switch 2. Tax.
And Sigh. Also Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. H-E-V-E-R-E-K-E.
Is it like...
H-E-B-E-R-E-K-E. Habareke. Amazing Habareke.
Hebereke.
Hebereke. Hebereke.
Hebereke.
Originally released for the Super Famicom system in 1994, Amazing Hebereke features battles with up to four characters where the last one standing is the winner.
Nice.
Okay.
Check out those games that I can't pronounce if you're a Nintendo Switch Online
You'll
member.
You'll know which one.
Those came out on April 12th.
Wait, what was the third game?
Amazing Hebereke.
What was before that?
Super R-Type.
Super R-Type. Nice.
My favorite game on my TI-83 graphing calculator.
It's called Phoenix there.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. Vampire Survivors gets Contra DLC next month.
Where's Steven again?
I know.
Why not?
He loves both. And it's also coming to PS5 and PS4 very soon.
Like next weekend.
Also, V Rising gets Castlevania DLC next month for PC.
Whoa.
Console later this year. If you're into those type of vampire games, getting crossover DLC with other popular franchises.
There's no vampires.
I guess
vampires
Konami's at least doing something.
Yeah, having other people do their work.
Has anyone checked out the Fallout show yet on Amazon Prime? Did you really?
It's very fucking good.
I watched the first episode. I really liked it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but like I keep hearing praise about it and like I feel like that's almost like better than The Last of Us because I feel like this show had way more avenues to fail than The Last of Us.
It has it's so just self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And Walton Goggins, first of all, is in it, so that's all you need. First of all, but he is amazing in this show.
I love him in Righteous Gemstones.
Yes, he is so good.
It's weird that they released all of the episodes at once, because they typically don't do that, especially on Amazon Prime. But it also is weird because a free upgrade for the... for Fallout 4 drops on April 25th for next gen or current gen at this point.
Well, yeah, PS5 upgrade.
For PS5 and Xbox Series, so you can get 60 frames per second and some increased resolution and other things like mods and bug fixes.
This was originally
on the PC
to come
version
out last month, but they delayed it. So I assume to line up better
With the show, but like, why is it not out now? Now that the show's been out like completely, I don't know if they were like not going to drop the show all at once and they could time this release or I don't know.
It's too long to upload.
But it makes sense because there's also another news article I didn't put in here where like, I don't know, Fallout gameplay on Steam's up like some ridiculous percent.
I think it's 300%.
Yeah, since the show came out.
I
want
to say I saw like Fallout 76 actually hit its highest concurrent player peak after the show dropped.
I know like Fallout 4 is on sale right now on PlayStation Store, or I had it for free through something.
Yeah.
But the DLC, like the whole expansion pack's only like $12.
I'm not going to lie. Watching the show, I'm like, maybe I want to play Fallout again.
Right.
Like, because it does a great job of like integrating all like your Pip-Boy music into the show. And I don't know. It's great.
Yeah. That first episode was much better than it needed to be. Pokemon Go. Remember Pokemon Go?
No.
That one peaceful time in July of 2016. Pokemon Go is expecting a large update, a big overhaul coming to the map, and new visuals coming to the app.
A map?
Very soon.
We're updating Earth.
like, it's here. It's called Google Maps.
Niantic has announced the Rediscover Go campaign, which is a major overhaul to the game as we know it. We'll have more information on what is going to be a part of this major overhaul starting April 17th with more announcements through the rest of the month.
Okay.
So, I mean,
they
is anyone
announcing an announcement?
Basically. Is anybody here even still play Pokemon Go?
I have a friend who like travels to play Pokemon
really?
Go.
Really?
My uncle still does.
It's actually still on my phone because Asher likes to throw Pokeball. Is it thing?
That's
it's on
so
my
phone, cute.
That's it's like on my it. Phone in like hopes that maybe this update will be like, whoa. Like, guys, we all have to be back on Pokemon Go.
The Pokemon Go website promises, quote, a fresh new look with updates to the in-game map, encounter screens, battle screens, and more, all tailored to your location. Okay. Snapshot feature will allow you to take pictures of up to 3 Pokemon at a time, while the avatar customization menu and the style shop will provide more options than ever before.
Whoa!
2 other tabs, Rediscover Kanto and Rediscover Your Reality, are also included, though no information has been revealed for those at this time.
I'm loading up Pokemon Go.
Ooh.
Let's see what happens.
That's it for all the news, but we have some entries to my new favorite segment of the show, Ruma Has It.
Yeah, Rumas.
Fair amount of Rumas this week.
Plenty.
Rumas that popped up and immediately were killed before we could record, but we're still going to talk about how Ruma had it that Dead Space 2 was being put together at EA, and then it was killed,
axed,
according to Jeff Grubb. And then EA came out and be like, nah, man. That's not true. We were never going to do Dead Space 2.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, wait, what? Because they remade Dead Space, which I guess maybe didn't hit the sales threshold they were looking for.
Yeah, we only made $1 billion profit.
I was about to say, like...
it's just... Dead Space 1 is good, but Dead Space 2 is phenomenal.
Yeah, but it's clearly like the ultimate iteration of the series.
Yeah,
right,
come
there.
On. So that's kind of disappointing. More PS5 Pro leaks. Rumor has it that the PS5 Pro leaked specs reportedly show huge graphical leaps forward. Could be about up to about 45% faster than a standard PS5.
Faster. Like load times or just in a race?
The GPU rendering is said to be about 45% faster, according to
Hopefully
The Verge.
Startup.
Yeah, that'd be great too.
Overall, it's reported the PS5 will have a significantly improved GPU, and while the CPU will be the same as a standard PS5, it'll benefit from a new mode that targets a higher 3.85 gigahertz CPU frequency at around 10% improvement.
Whoa, and it's got a new map.
I don't see any mention of teraflops on this article.
Not a good technology.
The last rumor I saw, it was like an absurd amount. Like in the 40s.
So many
whatever the
teraflops.
Fuck that means.
150 teraflops.
Because I want to say, like, what, right now it's like 10 or 12?
That sounds about right. 12. Not enough flops.
But yeah, I don't even know. Like, what's that even do?
That's plenty of flops.
Sony has reportedly built a, quote, custom architecture for machine learning on the PS5 Pro, which supports 300 tops of 8-bit computation. I don't know any of this shit.
AI just wrote that.
We're just going to keep going here.
It's probably best if we do.
Finally, we have a rumor confirmed. We previously reported on a hot rumor about the Dead Cells developers making a Prince of Persia game. Guess what, guys? The Dead Cells developers are making a new Prince of Persia game called The Rogue Prince of Persia, which will be a 2D roguelike game coming out later this year. Early access May 18th? Sometime in May.
Ubisoft likes them rogue spinoffs.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch the... Early access is May 14 on Steam. Did anybody watch the trailer or see any gameplay from this Rogue Prince of Persia?
Yeah, I like the art style a lot.
Really? Because I was not a big fan of the art style when
I
saw
it
in motion.
Oh, I think it's cool. It's pretty simplistic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very reminiscent of a Dead Cells.
I don't know. Maybe I was expecting more because the current Prince of Persia game that just came out looked great.
It looks good, but this is more stylized.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's artist objective.
Yeah,
either like it, or you
it
don't.
Is. And I personally like the art direction they went with. It
seems more like fast-paced and like more punchy-kicky than I'm going to hit you with my scimitar.
Again, this feels more Guacamelee-ish.
Yeah, exactly. So that's interesting. Like, I know this is just early access in May, but that's going to be 2 Prince of Persia projects in 4 months.
I'm wondering how that even happened.
Were they both like, all right, we got to do something with Prince of Persia, and they both just got done around the same time?
I guess.
Well,
with the fucking development hell that I guess Sands of Time is going through. They got to do something.
That's true.
Keep it fresh in the mind.
That ain't coming out.
So that's it for your news and your hot rumors. Let's move into John Michael's favorite part of the show, where we go over new releases for this week. Some hot Xbox titles, maybe, coming to PS4. April 16th, Dave the Diver coming out on PS4 and PS5.
Again, great.
Also on April 16th, Grounded coming out on PS4, PS5, and Nintendo Switch.
I remember when that game came out, and I still haven't played it.
It's, you know, like the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids games as a service game.
Yeah, exactly. I would play that game if Rick Moranis was in it.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing there, guys? Come on. It's like
DLC.
I will pay $10 for the Rick Moranis skin.
You can tip him.
Yes, exactly. I'll always tip Rick Moranis.
Harold Halibut coming out on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC.
Like the fish?
On April 16th.
Is that a point-and-click adventure game? What is this?
I know, right? Harold Halibut.
No, it's a point-and-fish.
Developed and published by Slow Bros, it's an adventure game.
My favorite Pokemon. Holy shit, it kind of is a point-and-click adventure game. Damn, okay. Got it in one.
Got it in one.
It broke my Google.
Planet of Lana. Coming out on PS4, PS5, and Switch.
Awesome. I think that's been out on like Xbox and PC for a minute, maybe.
Ooh, I tell you, but this website is loading very slowly right now.
Puzzle platformer.
For Planet of Lana.
Featuring all the music of Lana Del Rey.
Yes, that was out on Xbox previously. Last year, May of 2023, on Xbox and PC.
Cute. Yeah, it looks cute. I like the game. Style.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Developed by Wishfully, published by Thunderful.
Nice.
Rose and Camellia. The Rose and Camellia collection on Switch, April 16th. Moving into Rose and Camellia collection.
Oh, it's a Renee game.
Interesting.
It's a Renee game.
Wait, I don't know what it is. I just saw the art for it. I'm like, oh, Renee will play this.
Slap Fight Anthology. What is this?
Oh, never mind. I thought it was a visual novel.
This picture looks like a visual novel.
Is it not? Oh, okay.
It's developed and published by WayForward Technologies. It says it's a fighting game.
WayForward?
A fighting game?
A series of slap battles.
WayForward's the people that make like Shantae and stuff.
Yeah. This looks... What is this?
It's a point-and-click adventure game. Visual novel.
No, it is not.
Fish.
Slap your way to the top of high society. All right. Actually, this seems like a shitty game. I don't know that I support this.
Moving on to April 17th, which is Wednesday this week, Reigns Beyond. Reigns like you're... Like royalty,
like,
and you're going to reign, not like the
like,
reign.
Like
R-E-I-G-N.
Oh, like kings from a long...
Yeah, Reigns Beyond on Switch and PC on April 17th.
Oh, that looks like shit. I don't know what that is.
Final Fantasy 16, The Rising Tide, coming out on PS5 this Thursday, April 18th. You going to check that out, Neil?
I want to.
All right.
But Persona.
That's the Leviathan.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, that's the Leviathan one. And I also haven't played the previous one. Either.
Oh, I didn't realize there was one before that. I probably said there was
like a shorter DLC that came out a couple months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, the last new release this week, No Rest for the Wicked on PC, coming out on April 18th. Not that song that went with Borderlands.
I was about to say, that song's great.
Song by Cage the Elephant.
Cage the Elephant, thank you.
Speaking of 16, did y'all see the interview with Ben Starr doing Mary Kill Kiss of like Final Fantasy characters?
No, I did not.
Oh my god.
that's it.
No?
But yeah. That dude, like, I really love, like, his love of Final Fantasy before he actually starred in one. But yeah, his, like, Mary was Rinoa. His Kill was Cid from 12, which
it's
makes
very
sense.
Interesting.
Well, if you played 12.
I have not.
He's
a real rapscallion.
He's probably like one of the best villains in video game history.
Great heel turn.
And then his Kiss was originally Waka, but then he changed it to Lulu.
Why not both?
Why not both? Yeah!
You know what those?
And that's it for your new releases for this week. And that's going to do it for this show this week. You can find GameWare on Facebook, facebook.com/GameWare.
BR?
BR, thank you.
That's where we are.
You can also go to GameWare.com and buy video games, and we will ship them to you, to your house, to enjoy at your leisure.
Or your place of business.
Yeah, where
or
are you shipping
to? You can tip your friends with a video game.
Yeah, exactly. We're us.
Yeah. You can
got a game you want us to talk about?
Ship it.
You can also follow me on Threads. I am at Adam Arender.
I'm on Threads at JM Carly and Blue Sky at Earthworm JM.
Is this where I do Steven?
No, yeah.
I am on Blue Sky at
is Steven where the
am
Batman?
I? Where am I? Where is she? Where's the trigger?
I'm on social media at Vanilla La. That's like vanilla, but with a nay in A-E and an extra la at the end. And you can check out my super cool website, which I really need to update, www.speakingofrenemartin.com for all of my voice work.
We'll have our Persona 3 Reload spoiler cast dropping the first weekend in May.
The bullet's in the chamber.
If you want to email the show, you can. GamewareExpress@gmail.com is that email address.
Good email address.
I'd say.
We don't talk about that enough. That's a good email address. I guess you use it.
And everyone should check out Go Go Loser Ranger on Hulu, which is a hot new anime that just dropped, and I am the anime expert of this table.
Yeah,
that
is absolutely.
You should check this out if you like Power Rangers or Super Sentai. I've talked about it recently because I was reading the manga, and now the show is out. And this is a new step in my anime adventure because I've never watched a show that I've already read the manga for. Now I'm like, who am I as a person?
I'm going to have to
I'm so
podcast.
Proud.
I'm also going to see an anime movie this week.
Oh, my
week.
God.
It's getting a little too proud.
Looks cool.
I'm so proud.
That Kaiju 8 looks cool.
Yeah, Kaiju number 8.
I've been seeing yeah. that in Barnes & Noble before we go get ramen. We go to Barnes & Noble, and I keep seeing that one. And I was like, okay, that show drops. Maybe I'll check that out, too.
So the class that I went to in Dallas, it is like the director and the audio engineer that like ran the class.
Oh, cool.
They
worked on that?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
They're the lead director and lead engineer.
That's amazing.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, nice. It was really cool.
I guess it's like new anime season with like these last two dropping.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw Go Go Loser Rangers on Hulu. Hulu exclusive.
Classic.
And then I saw Kaiju number 8 on Crunchyroll.
Crunchy. And actually, they debuted it on Twitter. You could watch the first episode for free, but only like live.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. It all like aired at the same time, like on Twitter. So people in Japan and in America could watch it. And everywhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There are other places. Those two places.
But at least those two. The very least.
But yeah, it was pretty neat. I mean, it's neat that they just had it for free, available to everybody. So.
And then, yeah.
You should tip them.
And then the Spy Family movie comes out this week. And Spy Family is such an adorable show.
It's very cute. I would recommend that to anyone who doesn't even like anime.
Yeah.
I know you would never John Michael.
We'll see.
And that'll do it. Renee, Neil, John Michael. As always, thank you for joining me this evening and chatting about video games. Everyone out there, of course, thank you for tuning in and listening to us talk about games and news and hot rumors. We appreciate your support each and every week.
And help us talk about emails.
Email us at GameWareExpress@gmail.com.
That's a great email address.
But until then, be good to each other out there, and we will see you next week.